That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Thursday. Oh my God, it's the latter half of the week, and we are continuing Friends and Family Week here at The Toast with a highly requested, very special guest. It is TikTok girly, realistic, what do you say? Realistic haul creator, influencer, I don't know, Remy Bader.
Hello. Thank you for that intro.
What's your, sorry, I totally botched you. What is your like official bio? What is your official title? I never
content
know.
Content creator and curve model.
Yeah, I knew I fucked it up. Content creator and curve model, Remy Bader is here. Hi, Remy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming back. It's been almost a whole year since your last appearance on the show.
I think I came last year right after Coachella.
Oh my God, so that's actually what I wanted to talk to you about. Yeah. We're going to catch up and stuff before we get into all the stories. And we both watched a new episode of Vanderpump Rules last night. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about you this week because this weekend is Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
And not going. You're not going? Why not?
I just like really wasn't sure if it was for me.
So last year was your first year.
Yeah.
And now that you're a year out from it, I think the last time we spoke, it was a little fresh, a little raw for you.
Yeah.
Now you've had a whole year to process what that journey was like. Tell people who've never been to Coachella why it wasn't for you. And I've been twice and I totally understood all of your concerns.
Oh,
and I agreed
with
them. I
didn't realize you've been.
Yes, of course. Yeah, it's not for me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, after I want to know why it's not for you.
Okay.
But for me personally, I just felt like, I can't say it's like a bad place to be. Like, it's a wonderful place if you're into that. I realized after that I'm a concert girly, not a festival girly.
That's fair.
I love to be a concert where I know every word and mm-hmm. I'm there for that person.
Mm-hmm.
But like, why would I run around in a desert hot field that takes an hour to get into?
Mm-hmm.
Sweating, dripping, you know, once you get in there, you're not even getting out for a few hours because it's like a thing to get out.
All day.
I'm like trying to even think. I just feel like honestly it was my, sorry.
You're fine.
It was my personal experience that everything went wrong. And that's why I can't be like you. I would never say to anyone like you don't go to Coachella.
Right.
But if you are someone like me that, I don't know if there's many people like me that have those exact experiences, but like the sweating and the heat and don't like.
You have triggers.
Triggers.
I'm triggered by heat 100%. And that was a huge problem I had when I went to Coachella. But for me, the reason why I disliked Coachella was like, yeah, it was uncomfortable and like I was sweaty and like there was a lot of long lines and walking, which, oh my God, I hate walking.
And walking in the heat where I was like trying to wear like, I was also like trying to like be cute.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy in that weather.
100%. I could get past that. I really could. But at the end of the day, like I'm measuring life experiences in the amount of fun that I'm having.
Right.
And I didn't find it to be all that fun, especially as like a influencer, podcaster, content creator, you go to create content. So it's very much like a work. It's like a conference and there's so many different brand events and everyone's just like competing to go to the best events. And you ended up like, oh, I think I'll go to this party tonight. And you always end up choosing the wrong party. Like, it's just, I don't know. I don't find it that fun. I'm more of a Stagecoach girl. No brands go to Stagecoach. It's very chill. I love country music.
Is it at the same place?
Yeah, it's the same exact festival. The week after Coachella weekend
Two. See, I'm surprised that you go to that then.
I love the music. It's way less fanfare. There's not like famous people there. It's just like people who like country music and it's so fun. And it's like really the best country
festival. Well, yeah, because Coachella is known for, it's just so hyped up. But it's not even, it's also years ago. Like I remember in high school being like, I'll never go to this. It wasn't something I looked at. It was like, this is so cool. Like when everyone was wearing the hats and doing the Instagram pictures, I'm like, I hate that.
Oh no, I saw it and I was like, dear God, please one day let me be cool enough
no,
to go to Coachella.
No, I really, really, really hated
it. I will go to synagogue every Saturday if you just let me be cool and wear hats like that with beads on my face. God, I will eat kosher, please.
Yeah, no, not me. But the one thing is, I feel like everyone was like, oh my God, she clearly had a horrible time at like Revolve Fest or something because all that drama happened last year. I actually like have a little bit of FOMO because I had the best time specifically at Revolve Fest.
Yeah.
Because I went with them. So I'm not, I don't know. I can't say like how everyone else's experience was that just like went, I know like shit went down. But for me, I had, me and Nikki, my sister, had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
And like we're, that was where I had the most fun because it was more of a VIP experience. It wasn't as big as Coachella, no matter if you were GA or VIP. I like really listened to the artists and had fun. And it was just, that was more up my alley.
Yes, I will say the last time I went to Coachella, Jackie and I also went to Revolve Festival and it was probably better than the thing is with the festival, it's so much work to get there, like the flights and the outfits, and you get there and you walk and you walk and you walk and you walk and you walk. And then you finally get there. And I will say, like, I understand why people are obsessed with it. It's so beautiful.
Did you have an artist pass?
Yes.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so for people that don't know, like, if there's VIP and there's GA, but then there's an artist pass, which I wasn't cool enough to know about. And people are like, oh, you have artist pass? And I'm like, no.
No, people are so annoying about, like, what type of tickets they
have.
Yeah, like,
that's all these, what I mean, too, that I'm like, no. So
no,
then
some
I,
of these influencers are so goddamn annoying. Like, you have artist pass? Shut up, bitch. Okay, shut up. That's what I mean with like the competition
That's
level.
What I'm saying,
like,
too.
Mind your own goddamn business, bitch, and go put your fishnet stockings on and eat my fucking ass with a spoon. That shit bothers me. I agree.
That's what I'm saying. So when I was just like in the VIP and I realized I thought VIP would be close. Like for me, I like to connect to the artist. So I like to be as close as possible.
You're more of like an indie music girl.
No. Like I go to the front and I'm like.
Yeah. No, you're like locking eyes with like the lead singer. Like gonna go fuck in the back.
But like, I just want to feel
feelings
in my heart.
No, I know what you're saying. When I go to concerts, I don't wear glasses, but I could benefit from wearing glasses. And I bring a pair of glasses because I really want to see the artist. And then I feel like they can see me. Like when I go to Broadway shows, when I saw Funny Girl, I was literally wearing my glasses.
I really want to see that, by the way.
Oh my God.
I know. But I, what were we talking about?
Coachella artist pass.
Yes. I didn't do that. And then I realized VIP, I was a million miles away. I was like, how is this VIP? And I just like, that was what it was. Everything you're saying and like the pictures and everyone like one-upping each other. I just started looking around. There's a video of that. Not the video of me like crying. Mm-hmm. There's a video of me just like standing around and like looking at people and being like, what is this? And started laughing because I'm like, this is just a joke.
It's like a content. It's a content conference. It's like VidCon almost.
Yeah, never been there, but I know what you mean.
Me neither, but okay. I'm assuming that's what goes down. Content. Yeah. So you're not going to Coachella this weekend. What are you doing?
Well, I'll be in the air conditioning in my apartment, smiling. No, actually.
Smiling. Just like staring up at your ceiling fan.
Yeah. I don't know, actually. I really, so next week is my sister's bachelorette party in Tulum.
I've been hearing a lot about it.
So I'm really preparing. And then the week after, 3 days in between, and then I'm going on a brand trip to Turks and Caicos.
I know all about it. Spritz will be there.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So I like need to just like chill,
calm down,
but I might like maybe like go out once.
You like maybe you want to get a drink or something, I'll be here.
I would love to get hibachi or something.
Hibachi. Let's get hibachi
because I just heard
let's
you like
get hibachi. What did you get? Hibachi.
I just posted on my Instagram story the history of
by the way, you know Steve Aoki is the heir to the hibachi
that's
throne.
Why I just posted on my story. I go, this
oh,
is
you
crazy
didn't know that?
No,
there's actually a picture of him when you walk in. And you know, if you go to the, there's one Benihana in the city, and if you go there, you're like 95% likely to see Tracy Morgan. He's always there.
That's so interesting.
Both times I've been there in like the last 5 years, I had my like 25th birthday at Benihana.
No way, I think that's cool.
It was so cool.
That's the coolest.
And the thing is, all you need is like 10 people to get your own table, and you don't have to pay for like a room rental. You get your own room. It's kind of like a low budget.
I did all of my, so I, at the corner of my street, when I grew up, I had a hibachi place at the corner of my street. So I was like, yo, let's all meet for hibachi. Yeah. And I'd be like, let's go Saturday night. And yes. I would like throw parties. And again, hibachi. You don't have to rent it. Yeah, just like the huge table. I was like 20 of my friends. And I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done.
You know what? That reminds me of last night on Vanderpump Rules. They were like kind of making fun of Sheena's rehearsal dinner, the girls who weren't invited. I'm like, that literally looks like the best
rehearsal
dinner.
Wait, I was going to say that whole thing looked really fun. It's kind of changing my mind a little bit because I was very much like, not saying I'm getting married anytime soon. Uh-huh. But I recently spoke to my boyfriend. I go, I just want to let you know because I have sweating issues and all this stuff. Like, we will not be getting married anytime, like anywhere outside.
No, I used to say that when I was getting married, I wanted to have a Winter Wonderland themed wedding in December outside in the city.
Oh, outside. That's interesting.
It's snowing. Perfect.
Yes. So like I just, and he was like, maybe, well, like maybe like away in one. No.
I know.
Hot there too.
I know.
So I'm like already having all these rules just thinking about how I'll be anyways. But like I watched, my point is I saw the wedding and I was like, it's not one day. Like you have all these celebrations around and like it just was, it looked really fun.
I know. She actually did a really good job and I was really, I don't want to get too much into it because we're going to have a whole segment at the end. But I was really impressed with Sheena. Like the whole episode, my takeaway was like, wow, Sheena's kind of like a mature queen.
Okay. Well, that's, I just was talking about this in my chat with my mom and my sister last night because my mom
I love your mom, by the way.
Yeah, she's funny.
She's a queen.
Well, she was like, love Sheena. And I was like, honestly, like, I don't agree with you. Like, I was like, I think she's like a little dramatic. I agree with how she was during the wedding. Like, I thought she'd be bugging when the veil was flying and stuff. And like whispering. And then I was like, and then my sister was like, yeah, mom, what? Like, she's dramatic. And we were like fighting about who we liked and who we didn't like and stuff. But I do think that she handled herself very well, especially for like that. For me, like I like have no idea what I'll be like when I'm a bride, but I'll probably be like a little bit of a scary girl.
That was going to be my next question. Like, what kind of bride do you think you're going to be? I was, and I'm speaking from experience, the most miserable cunt you've ever met. And I never use that word. You've ever met in your life. Like so controlling.
My mom would hate if she heard you use that word.
I know. But you know what? Sometimes it's the only right word. Right. I'm sorry, Mrs. Bader. Sometimes it's the only, because that's
Adina.
It's the only, I have respect for my elders. I say Mrs.
She hates it.
I like grew up and that was like what I was forced to do. And okay, I felt like so awkward. And now it just kind of
just stuck. So you know, like every time like a like still to this day, if like my guy friends walk up to her or something and they're like, Mrs. Bear, she goes, it's Adina. And don't you ever call me Mrs.
She's
Bear.
So sexy. I'm obsessed. I just was like the worst type of bride. So I relate to
you were constantly stressed.
So stressed. I like refused to offload any of the planning to the actual wedding planners.
Right.
But I had like, you know, I had this like big deal with the knot and our wedding was going to be in the magazine. Mm. And I was just like, so it became like a work thing, which I hated. And that would be like my biggest piece of advice to like an influencer
to work and
or like a content creator who is going to be like posting their wedding. It can become work and it work equals not fun no matter what you do.
Right.
So that's my only piece of advice.
It's funny because Nikki is being who I thought, who I think I'll be, and I'm shocked.
Is she being a bridezilla?
Because she's more, not bridezilla, like, but I've never seen her more anxious and bugging about everything.
Weddings are
perfectionist,
so stressful.
Wild, and like just being like, even she hasn't slept in days, and she's like, I don't know why, and she's like being crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, chill, like, we're good.
It's,
and like,
it's easier said than done.
I know. And if I had, I'm just saying, if I had me as a maid of honor, like I know I'm like.
Are you the maid of honor?
Yeah. Well, who else would it be?
Yeah.
Hudson?
I just want to say, I don't feel like you kind of convey any sort of calm energy. Like,
right.
I understand why she's stressed. You are quite literally her maid of honor.
Yes, but I'm, but like, I am like queen planner.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I like have always hosted parties for people. Mm-hmm. I'm like love hosting, planning, making things perfect. So like even though I'll bug until the moment, like for my parties and stuff, like I've never had a bad party. I've never felt like I've like, shit, I dropped the ball on this. Like I always plan things accordingly.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm actually being extra chill because I'm like, she'll just bring up like the bridal party when like this is coming up. And I'm like, let's not focus on that. That's in June.
One thing at a time.
This is like coming up in a week, like, and we're all good for it. So like, let's just live in the moment. I'm being like a hippie girl.
Yes. You know, the first time you were on this show, this is now your third time, correct?
Yeah. And I remember exactly what I wore and every feeling about the last time, but I don't remember anything. When was the first time?
You were a guest first with Jackie and I.
Okay.
Then you co-hosted.
Oh, yes.
I actually remember you wore a black bodysuit and blue jeans. I was like,
oh my
that's
God,
cute.
And I don't remember that. And that was the most like nervous day of my life.
And then we sat here for like an hour afterwards talking shit about every single person on the planet.
Yes, because that's like all I ever dreamed of doing with you guys. And
so
I was
much
like, this is the coolest thing.
But so the first time you were here, you had like just popped off. Like your life was changing. You were in this like very transition. I think you were really overwhelmed.
Wait,
by
I don't
it.
Want you to get mad at me and I want to talk about
go.
This, but like I have to adjust myself. Like
oh,
I feel
girl,
like I've
live.
Been sitting like this the whole time
girl,
trying to be.
Lean back. Take
I don't
your
know
time.
What to do. Okay, hold on. I have to.
No, like I want you to be comfortable.
And why can
pull your microphone
if
back?
I sit here and then
just
like
pull
that.
It towards your mouth. Gorgeous.
See, now I could like see you and sit.
Good.
This is so
I want
much
you to
better.
Be happy, Remelina.
Okay, go again.
So the first time you were here, your life had kind of changed overnight through TikTok. You had blown up, and I think you were feeling like a little overwhelmed by the whole. And now it's been how long have you been a TikToker?
2.5 years.
Does it feel more normal now? Because your life just changed on a dime.
I still feel like it was yesterday.
Yeah,
I really do because I'm like. It like scares me in that way because I'm like, all right, I'll get to the halls next week. And then I'm like realizing it's been a tune. Like, I just feel like I'm still having a hard time of like focusing on myself. And like right now I'm in my self period of like your year good of things. You. Yes. Like, and I'm really like focusing on myself and all, it's good. But then I like push away the content and then it stresses me out that I can't give that to my followers. Mm-hmm. I do a bad job of doing both and giving it to myself and to everyone else. And that's how am I still trying to manage that 2.5 years later? That's what's annoying.
It's not that long. Like, this is a very abnormal like way of living.
Right.
And I think it's so important. I actually spoke about this a lot in my book. Like, doing the toast gave my life so much structure because being a content creator, like, your life is pretty structureless. You know, you work. Yeah. At all hours of the day and then no hours of the day. You have weeks that are so busy you can't breathe, and then weeks where like kind of nothing's going on and you're like, I could literally get a day job.
Right.
And so doing this every day kind of gave like a 9-to-5 structure to my day. And I feel like a lot of the most successful content creators have like such crazy structure in their day just to avoid that kind of awkward.
Yeah, I need that.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like just even me, this is the first time in my life, not my life, what? The first time in years that I'm even getting up earlier again, because I used to be an early bird. Mm-hmm. Like, I would even get up in college at 5 a.m. to study. I would never study at night.
Oh,
I would be at Starbucks at 5 a.m. when it opened. So, like, I, like, miss that version of myself, and I'm bringing that back. And even just, like, getting up earlier and doing these things, I'm like, wow, this is, like, a little of routine. This is structure. This is what I've been missing since before COVID. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting there.
Yeah.
And then I think I could, in a way, like, I feel like I'm working on so many different things that, but for the first time, I realized this the other day too, like everything the first year was just like public and on TikTok and whatever. The second year was all of the things I was working on, like coming to life, and I had announcement. And it was like, wow, this is so exciting. And now for the first time, it's like, I don't have these announcements, but I'm working on so much that I can't even like talk about. And that will probably come about like next year that I'm like, am I not doing enough?
No, that's the thing about like this line of work is you're always looking at what other people are doing and comparing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God,
I do that.
Yeah, of course. That's just human.
But I've talked to you. You've helped me a lot with this. I always tell my mom that. I'm like, Claudia helps me a lot because I'll like, you know, I very open about when I feel a certain way. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, like, am I not doing enough? Or I feel like I'm focusing on too much. Like, and you're like, you're going to have periods in this like job mm-hmm. where it's what?
Like highs and lows.
Highs and lows.
Everybody, you know, wants to work with you. And then there's a few weeks where it's like you're kind of irrelevant and it comes in waves. And as long as you get comfortable knowing that there are going to be highs, there are going to be lows. There are going to be months that are, you know, you're bringing in more money than other months and other months where you're just like kind of slow. Like, it's okay. Actually, lean into those slow moments because then there are months where you can't catch your breath and you long for a slow month.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to be okay with right now because it's not even, I have to understand, like, it's not even slower. Like, this is like good for me. But I couldn't even handle what was happening before because that was abnormal.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, it's like it is. Some weeks are busier, some weeks are not. But when those weeks are busier, I'm like, I can't breathe. I need a rest. So I'm like, I just need to like lean into it more. And I think that's what I'm doing now. I'm like, I'm having a little bit more time on my hands where I'm like, great, I can actually go to the gym. I could do some nice things for myself. Mm-hmm. And I cooked the other night for the first time in 2 years
or something. I saw your steak and pasta.
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
Yeah, I feel like gratitude is so important. Not to sound literally like a freak, but mm-hmm. being grateful when you're busy, but also being grateful when you're not. Like, you need to be grateful for the opportunities that come your way, because like everyone, no matter who you are, like, you work hard to earn things in this life, and when you get them, you should be really grateful for them. And then it's just also about your perspective. So like when things are going, you know, slow, you can think like, oh my God, like, nobody wants to work with me. I never, like, I'm done in this business. Or you could think like, wow, I can take care of myself. I can reset. I can relax, so that when those months come where I'm like really busy, I can lean in and give it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Like here today at the toast, you're going to give it 100%.
I'm already here. I'm excited. I'm happy to be here. And I do feel the difference of like the last time I was here, which is just funny because I feel like the first time I was here, I was a fan. The second time I was here, we were friends, but like now I feel like we're actually friends, where I feel comfortable, where I was like, we're friends, but I'm like still nervous and bugging.
You still had your wall up.
Yeah, I'm not nervous now.
Oh, good. I mean, we share a physical therapist. We share a lot.
Yeah.
We both went to physical therapy yesterday. Frank. who do you think Frank likes better?
It was funny.
I'm like a really good patient. Like, I make my appointments. I show up every time. I do my exercise at home. Like, I don't know how Frank couldn't like me. And I'm hilarious on the table.
Well, I just want to say to everyone that, like, Claudia didn't find Frank. I found Frank. And
I never said I found Frank.
But people started DMing me, oh, are you going to Claudia's PT? And I was like, I'm triggered.
You want to know why they said that? What? Because I'm consistent and I always go. And whenever I go, I post to support local businesses.
This is the first, yesterday was the first time I went in a year and a half.
I'm just consistent. And I never said I invented Frank. I actually said I got him from Margo, who got him from Remy.
Right.
Anyways, so I never said I invented
he
Frank.
He was talking you up. So, okay, yeah. He was just like, I got like 20 new patients the other day when she posted and like all this.
Support local business.
Yeah. So then I started being like, oh shit, like I have to post.
And he's kind of like turning us against one another.
I agree. Wait, also it was just funny because I like didn't, I was so tired when I went yesterday and just like out of it because I've been working.
Oh. Yes, queen.
And I was like, I'm sorry, Frank, like I keep yawning and like whatever. And he starts like whipping out the camera and I'm like, wait, I'm not, my hair's everywhere. I have no makeup. And I texted Claudia after and I'm like, I had no idea I was going to a photo shoot at PT.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, well, Claudia, you know, let's retake the videos and do this. And I was never going to say no to Frank. Like, yeah, so I was like, yeah, do it. And I was thinking, and then he's like, can we take a picture together? And I'm like, ah, like I wanted so bad to be like, can we just do this next time? But I didn't have it in my heart to do so.
Yeah. Well, I always go to Frank after the toast. So I always look cute. And the first time we took a picture together and I was like, oh, I should look cute every time in case like he wants to take more photos with me.
Well, you know what I was thinking? Oh my God, I just cut you off.
No, it's okay. Like, I'm just always making content at PT because you sit there for a while with that machine on your back. So I'm like taking pictures of myself.
Okay, I'm sorry that I'm in pain.
So am I. That's why I'm at PT, bitch. That's literally why I'm at PT.
Like, I literally like saw you on your phone. I'm like, oh, I could be on my phone. Like when I used to go, I would like literally put the phone aside and be like, because I was just like so serious and it wasn't a fun thing for me. But I did enjoy it more yesterday. I said to Frank, I said, I feel more motivated than ever. Like I want to feel better. I just don't want to be in pain.
That's how I felt. I'm like, my back hurts like after long days and I am going to take the matter into my own hands.
Right. Like it's last powerful. Night when I got home, like, can you believe I was actually doing some of the things he told me to do?
Did you do your exercises?
Yeah. I was like, pushing myself up on the bed and I get a little bit of like an older Tanner version of like Ben vibes from him. Yeah,
that's a compliment. I'm gonna tell Ben,
which, because you did, well, I get in trouble for saying, you said he was like cute, like,
oh my God, yes, I did say
we can cut that out. I started looking at him and I'm like, I get it. Because this is like Ben. Like, I get why you see that.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
We could cut this out because now, Frank's going to think.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Because let me tell you.
Frank watches the toast?
No, he does because I, let me tell you. Because I had said, I was sharing. Listen.
Can you cut things out on here?
I can, but I'm not because this is funny. Okay. Because I said on the first time I went, I told the story about how I accidentally took my pants off when I wasn't supposed to.
The best story.
And the whole situation was like made even more humiliating because he was like a handsome guy. And that clip went so viral. And the next time I was like, there's no way Frank saw this clip where I called him handsome. He's like, my wife saw it and sent it to me. I'm like, oh my God, now him and his wife. And I was like so mortified. So you just called him handsome. And now I feel better that I'm not the only one and I'm not cutting it out. Okay. So having said that, let's dive into a little bit of pop culture news, the Fast Five stories that you need to know. Today's episode is brought to you by State Farm. The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create a plan that gives you options so you get an affordable price. And it comes with a lot of benefits, like the coverage you want, a policy that helps cover what's important to you, and an affordable price just for you. You know, Jax and I, my queen Jax, we're always talking about how important personalization is and how personal some things can be. Insurance, of course, being one of them, poetry another, comedy another, food another. You know, some of us are folklore girls and some of us are Evermore girls, and that's because it's personal. Personalization means you have the power to choose what you want to include and what you want to leave out. It just feels better that way, and why shouldn't insurance work like that too? That's what the State Farm Personal Price Plan is all about. You can choose to include options like bundling your home and auto policies, and that means you'll get the coverage you want at an affordable price just for you. In the end, you have a policy that gives you what you want. I mean, take Jax and I. Have you met two girls more similar? But even our insurance, it's so personal that we have different needs. You know, Jackie's a homeowner. Jackie has two cars, you know? Some of us are just blessed like that. It feels better, and State Farm knows that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Oh, I'm sorry. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com today to create your State Farm Personal Price Plan. Prices vary by state. Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary. Thank you, State Farm, for sponsoring today's episode of The Toast. All right, first up, we've got some news that I feel like you're going to have a lot to say about.
Okay.
Did you see this Ariana Grande thing?
Yes.
She posted this video. She was addressing body shaming comments. Mm-hmm. So Ariana Grande is getting candid about her health. The pop star took to TikTok on Tuesday because she was inspired by Remy Bader to shed light on her mental health, addressing recent comments about her body in a rare 3-minute confessional. This is what she said. I don't do this often. I don't like it. I'm not good at it, but I just wanted to address your concerns about my body and talk a little bit about what it means to be a person with a body and to be seen and to be paid such close attention to. There are many different ways to look healthy and beautiful. And personally, for me, the body that you've been comparing my current body to was the unhealthiest version of my body, she continued. I was on a lot of antidepressants and I was drinking on them and I was eating poorly and I was at the lowest point of my life when I looked the way that you consider my health, you consider healthy, but that in fact wasn't healthy. She said healthy can look different. The second thing is you never know what someone is going through. So even if you're coming from a loving place or a caring place, that person probably is working on it or has a support system that they're working on it with. You never know. So be gentle with each other and be gentle with yourselves. Sending you guys a lot of love. And I think you're beautiful no matter what you're going through, no matter your weight, no matter how you'd like to do your makeup these days, yada, yada, yada. Thoughts, Remy, as like the girl who never asked to be the spokesperson of body positivity, neutrality, yeah. But who is?
I'm gonna get shit for that. Like, she is not the spokesperson about it.
You get shit for like whatever. So yeah, just anything. Honestly, you should just start saying some crazy shit.
Yeah, I don't really care anymore. So, yeah, I saw that. I reposted it. I truly believe. I don't agree with any sort of commenting on anyone's body. Like, I just like, especially if there is a public figure, because mm-hmm. I'm like, they are, people think that you're not people. Mm-hmm. She is reading that. Mm-hmm. Maybe not every single comment, but she sees it, especially if that's like the majority of what people are saying. And you really have no idea what she's going through. Clearly, if she feels obligated, which she never makes videos like that.
I know. It was crazy. To come on
and say that, like, something's going on, yeah. And she wants to make a point. The fact that she was saying that it was unhealthy for her and whatever, it's just like, why do you have to dig? And when I reposted that video, I was getting messages, and it's funny, because lately when I'm saying I don't care, and I do in the way that I'm like, I actually respond more to people like, shut up now. Like, I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't care. Like, I'll block you. I said, like, mm-hmm. just go. I mean, I've always been a blocker, but like, people were messaging me, no, but she really needs to figure out her body. And I would respond and be like, I'm sorry, that's very rude and you shouldn't say that. Yeah. Like, even if you're saying it to me, I don't care. I'm not going to agree with you. Like, why? Why?
Do you think, this is just a genuine question. Do you think that people feel more comfortable commenting on the body of a thin person?
Yeah, I feel like people, they probably, the people that maybe wouldn't comment on someone like my body because mm-hmm. they think that they're doing a good job by not doing that.
But they're like an ally.
But they're like, right. But then they're like, oh, well, she looks unhealthy in the other way.
Right.
I can comment on that. And that's absolutely not true.
So, okay, this is my question for you because I feel a certain way about it. And I don't know if a lot of people agree with me. Do you think it's the same thing to comment on a curvy person's body and a thin person's body? Like, is one of them worse than the other?
I think I always grew up feeling like if you comment that someone's fat or on a curvier person's body, that it's worse. And I do think that there are, I do think deep, deep down, I think it's worse. Deep, deep down. But I've learned to accept more.
And understand.
And understand more what, you know, people might be going through with that they can't gain weight and things like that, where I used to get pissed. Like, most of my friends from college are, I mean, all of my friends from college and my group of friends are skinny. Like, it just, I didn't choose that. People think I choose skinny friends.
Right.
It is how it is. And I remember one of my friends always complaining, being like, I can't gain weight and it's so hard for me. And I'd be like, oh, shut up.
I know.
And now I really like have seen some of the things she's gone through. And I like actually, I think I like a year ago apologized.
Oh, wow.
For maybe some of the, like me just making it a joke years prior, because I'm like, no, like, I don't know. Like, you really have no idea like what is going on. And I do.
No, I agree with you. Something I struggle with, and I'm not saying that I think my version of anything is right. Yeah. It's like, I have always felt like it's not the same to be told you're too fat and you're too skinny.
Right.
Because we live in a culture where skinny is a good thing. It's a currency. Yes. It's like, so calling someone too skinny is like calling someone too good. It's like, it's, we put a positive connotation in skinny and a negative one on fat. So it's like, to be told you're too fat is like you're too negative. And to be told you're too skinny is like you're too positive.
I agree with that too.
But then I see the flip side, and it's like, well, shut the fuck up about whatever anyone's body looks like.
Yeah.
I definitely, and it's something I don't have like clear thoughts on, but it's something I don't really fully understand. And maybe that's because I've literally never in my life been told that I'm too skinny.
Me neither.
And I can't even relate to the sentiment of not being able to gain weight, but I know that that's a thing for people and I totally respect it. It's so foreign to me. I have no idea what that's like.
Like, if you've ever been in a really bad place, do you choose to eat or not to eat? That's a personal question.
Without question, to eat.
Right.
I've never been so heartbroken over anything that I lost my appetite.
No, me neither.
I found a newer, deeper recess of my appetite to dig into.
Anytime, and still to this day, because I'm still struggling with that, if someone says something that pisses me off or it's just something more negative, I go to food.
Yep.
That is my comfort. So same. I've never dealt with the opposite. But think about putting yourself in, let's say, her shoes. And I have no idea what Ariana is going through. And her being in such a maybe deep, dark place that she's truly can't eat. I am sure that that's a traumatizing thing, too.
Yeah.
So I understand both sides. But I do also, with what you're saying, I like how you explained it, too. Because I think it's just being fat, no matter what, is still negative.
Yeah.
And in the mind of most people in the world.
Yes.
And it's just... It is a dig.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You posted something yesterday that
Oh my God, I knew you were going to...
Why? What did I do wrong?
Wait, maybe you're not... Okay, what?
I wanted to ask you because I had never heard of the phrase body checking.
Okay, first of all, it's crazy that you saw that because it was up for 30 minutes and
you deleted it.
And Claudia, you were the only person in my head as that Why? Was up.
Oh my God, well...
Because me and Claudia talk about this stuff a lot, but I was like, literally in the back of my head, I'm like... Claudia's going to disagree with this post.
By the way, first of all, I didn't really, I think I disagreed with it, but I don't know what body checking is. Can you explain?
Yes, I'll tell you.
I hadn't heard that phrase.
I didn't know before my eating disorder treatment at all. And people were saying, and I was like, what's body checking?
It's a good question.
Yeah. So it's when you are staring and looking at yourself in the mirror and like looking at like your body and whatever, but you're doing that, then you're... Body checking is just that, really.
Oh my God, I literally did that this morning.
Right, but like it's something that people are always, a lot of people are doing. But what I was trying to say and what the video
is. Body checking bad?
It's bad.
Why?
Because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
No, that's okay.
But no, because I'm trying to like think.
We're just working through thoughts, everyone.
Right,
so.
Right. It's supposed to be, bad because you're literally... you're staring at yourself and constantly checking on like what you should be looking like and looking, it's like weighing yourself constantly.
Got it.
But you're just looking at yourself in the mirror and looking at your body and like constantly, it's a bad thing, I guess, in the world of like eating disorder recovery.
Got it. Okay.
And what I was saying, and I realize I rarely ever in my 2.5 years delete videos that I post. I'm like very confident with what I post.
How many times do you watch a video before you post it? Like you wait a couple hours and you post immediately?
I don't watch it usually.
Okay.
Unless I feel like I fucked something up I said and want to like cut, not fucked it up, like where I'm like I need to cut that out because I like hesitated or something. But I really like, I'm big on my videos are better when I do them in the moment of what I'm feeling and I want to get it out there. This was something I sat on for a week and I was like, okay, I want to say it the right way. And to just explain what I was trying to get out there versus what I realized it sounded like and then started getting automatically some negative comments, I was like, this isn't worth me not sleeping tonight.
And it's not what you meant.
And it's not what I meant. So what I was trying to say, aside from any medications or what anyone's on, because I posted recently too, I disagree. I don't think that we should be looking at people's bodies and being like, she's on this, she's on this. I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. And like, that's just not our business.
Yeah, I agree.
What I am and what I was trying to say, which maybe you'll understand more, is that I was on my Instagram the other day and I just was scrolling through and every story was people I know and people I don't know of just out of nowhere showing their abs it's not showing a fitness journey or whatever it is. It's like all of a sudden I'm seeing it is in the behind. It's like we're in this like skinny era now. I'm just going to show I'm really skinny now out of nowhere. And what's bothering me is that I'm not saying, because what people start commenting, you're saying you people can't show their progress and what they're proud of. That's not what I'm saying, because I guess I would want to do that too. You know, that's where I started being like, oh no, that's not what I mean.
Yeah.
I just think that people are leaning into this like, I'm seeing so much less of like, be yourself, be okay with
messaging.
The videos that I was making in the beginning of COVID. I'm starting to see less of that and just so much more like we need to, you know, go back to being skinny and that's all there is. And it's scaring me.
So let me tell you why I disagreed with it. And I
knew you would.
So no, I do. And only because it's like kind of a mentality I have about everything in this life. Mm-hmm. I feel like what you're describing is a really niche trigger for you.
Right.
And I think a part of recovering from anything, and I don't know anything about eating disorder, so I might be wrong, but I think through like therapy and healing, whatever it is that you're triggered by, the point of the healing journey is to be able to be confronted by things that trigger you. Mm-hmm. Because the concept that, you know, everything you see every day is should be a safe space for you, whatever that person is dealing with, whatever the mm-hmm. trauma is unrealistic. It's like right. Fran Lebowitz quote, you yeah. know, to leave your house is to be offended. So what I felt was like, it's almost, it's your POV.
Right.
But it might not be ubiquitous, if that makes sense.
I get that. And maybe that's why I deleted it, because I feel like I'm good at feeling like, oh, maybe this wasn't right. And mm-hmm. then I wouldn't have deleted it.
Yeah.
And it's just funny because I just didn't want you to see it. But
oh my God, I can't believe you have this like complex about me. I'm crying because you know, I'm
no,
literally.
No, because I know what you think. Like, it's almost like a Nikki thing, like with my sister. Yeah. It's like, oh, I know she's going to see, so I know what she's going to think. And I don't want to deal with the conversation, so I'm just going
to
delete it.
No, by the way, I totally relate to that. Like, oh, this is going to get difficult. I'm out. Deuces.
Yeah. I feel like I used to be more in the like, I'm in a battle. I feel like I used to be more like, I'm going to battle this and I'm standing for what I believe. And then like lately, I'm just like, I don't want to, I don't want to do it. Anyways, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And that is very true. I think it's a part of like things when I'm like, I go home and I'm in this like, everyone put the food away in the house. Right. And I realize I can't do that anymore.
Right.
I do. But I think it's more because it's a public press thing right yep. now. That's like, what are they calling it? Not skinny girl era. I couldn't even think of the word the other day, how people are saying like,
oh, heroin chic.
Heroin chic.
Yeah.
Like things like that, like how it's like a thing right now.
Like a trend.
So I just feel like people are, I thought it was bullshit the whole time. And that, cause I'm very much do what you want and what makes yeah. you feel good. We've talked about this. But now that I'm starting to see it as like, oh my God, I'm seeing what people are talking about.
Like a full trend.
And it's in my face and I'm not actually thinking about myself because I'm okay and I'm not getting too triggered where I'm gonna go binge about it.
Right.
But I'm thinking about the people that are following all these people that aren't following them for a fitness reason mm-hmm. or because of their bodies and are following them for their humor or other things and are now going to be more triggered than me and maybe don't know how to handle that. And I just am feeling for those other people.
No, that's a totally fair mentality.
And I'm seeing it in the eyes of like eating disorders, which again, you're like, okay, well, not everyone's dealing with that. So I yeah. see both sides.
Yeah.
Like, I just deleted it because I'm like, it's just not.
No, I honestly whatever. Feel like the two things we're both saying are like two major, like conflicting
yes.
schools of thought in the culture right now. About
this is a very serious toast.
I literally... But they are. They're like two conflicting yeah. schools of thought about like a. I had like a really good thought that I can't remember what I was gonna say. But like essentially that,
like what you're trying to say.
What I'm trying to say is like, you know, we all are accountable for like what we consume, what we
right. you can unfollow,
what we allow ourselves to get like taken away with. Like yes, influence is real, but like if you are aware of your own consciousness and like you are actively, you know, unfollowing things, like it's on every individual to protect their peace.
Yeah.
No one is going to protect your peace for you.
Right.
And then I think there's another school of thought. Well, it's like, well, why not? Why can't we make a world where, you know, everyone and everything is protected and safe?
Which I don't feel that way. I don't even. Right. I feel more in like, because then the other side of Remy is always like, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Screw you. If you want to unfollow me, you can unfollow right. me. I just think. I just don't want what I came on social media to yeah. do to completely
to go
away.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's totally fair.
Yeah.
All right, should we dive into the next story? Because we yes. took a major tangent, but wishing Ariana Grande the best. She looked beautiful.
Yes.
Caitlin Bristow has revealed what she was paid for The Bachelorette.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So she okay. was offered a measly $40,000 when she was gunning to be The Bachelorette in 2015. Ah. She went on the Trading Secrets podcast and said when she was on just The Bachelor as a contestant, she was getting $1,500 between that season and then The Bachelorette. So she lived off of $1,500 from ABC.
For the whole season?
No, until just in that break period after The Bachelor,
okay.
before she was The Bachelorette. So they offered her $40,000 and she was like so excited. She was like, I'll take it. But she had hired a lawyer and she actually couldn't even afford the lawyer at the time. Her stepdad had to lend her $5,000. And he negotiated way harder and was like, no, $40,000 is not enough, and put in all these stipulations. And one of the executive producers called her and was like, you got an entertainment lawyer and you're asking for that amount of money? I'm sorry. I thought this was about love for you. And she was like, fuck off. It's about love and money. Okay. They go hand in hand for me right now. And she was competing against Britt. And so it was like even more complicated in terms of the contract. So she said she wanted to make the same amount that Chris Soules, who was the previous Bachelor, made, which was a range between 75 and 100 grand. Okay. And she said she was really smart with her negotiations and she made sure ABC would still pay her even if she lost the gig to Brit. Because remember, there was like two bachelorettes at the same time. She also negotiated that if it was Brit, she got more. She got the same amount of money. And then she also reveals the payment structure for Dancing with the Stars. So everybody gets a sign-on bonus for like Dancing with the Stars to announce like this person's coming. And I feel like that's really just based on your level of fame and relevance. Yeah. And then you get paid per episode. So that's why when people get kicked off, they're like bummed because they stop getting paid.
Okay.
And they both obviously stop dancing as well.
Yeah.
Now my question for you is, how much would it take for you to be the Bachelorette? Because I think I would not take a dollar under $20
million. $20 million?
I would not do it for any less. When you think about taxes and, you know.
Okay, but like there's some people that they're dream, like it's not my dream because I'm also not trying to get married right
now.
It's
my worst nightmare.
Okay, well that, exactly.
Do you know how many?
But there's some people that are like, I'll do it for $5.
Do you know how many scenes you have to film in a bathing suit? Like I would literally
never. Well, that's why my dream in another world would to be out in Love Island. And I would.
Really?
But I would rather be. I would need to be paid $100 million to actually do it because of they walk around
you only
all
live.
Day in a bikini.
No, and like there's cameras in the bathroom. I think I would literally rather be killed than be on Love Island. Like that sounds like my worst nightmare.
It's you meet the parents and stuff in the bikinis. Like it's crazy.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Horrifying.
Yeah. So
no, there's just like a real certain type of person who is built for these shows like The Bachelor and Love
if
Island.
If I was so diehard, like I want to get married now, like I would do The Bachelor.
You would?
Yeah. But like it's not happening. I also have a boyfriend.
You do have a boyfriend. Congrats. But yeah. Like I can't think of anything worse seriously than being on a dating show like that. Maybe I could be on like Love is Blind because there's not that much like bathing suit content. And it's,
right.
And
it's a but it's bit, just crazy. But like,
it's crazy.
It's what really, are I'm realizing I think that's actually my favorite concept of a show because it's just so out of this world. But the fact that some people have worked out or maybe like one or two couples in the past, whatever. I'm like, this is just a crazy concept.
I agree. I think the format is probably the best one.
I have a problem with them though.
What?
Because I do feel like I'm like, this is the perfect concept where you actually could have some like larger women and maybe some, how do I say this?
Me and Ben went on a rant about this.
Yeah.
Friday.
Maybe just some more average looking people.
No, everyone is pretty average looking and they have like diversity in a lot of different ways, but not in body diversity.
Yeah, that's
and I
every
think
dating show.
That's and that really poses like an interesting potential for conversations and challenges and hurdles and I don't know why they don't do it.
It's very wild.
I guess like there was a plus size curvy girl. She like wasn't really
no, and
from
then
last
they,
season.
But then they she's smaller than me.
Right.
And then they, there. I actually remember last season there was like an actual plus size girl and they like didn't put
they
her,
cut her
in
out.
The actual.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is your chance in the perfect show to truly have people that look like all different type of actual people and they aren't doing it.
And they're
not
still thin.
Hitting it on the head.
No. And I think from like an entertainment perspective, I don't know why they wouldn't do that. I do feel like it would make the entire process more interesting
and it brings more viewers like I just don't get it. But like that's a whole I just think that there's so many I've been trying to think I'm like what show because people are like Love Island like should have you know more plus size people and like we just literally said it as it is it's like what if maybe some people are just uncomfortable being in a bikini all the time or whatever it is this is the perfect show to have plus size people on it and they don't do it and
that's
I just
so
don't
true
get that.
Who are your favorites this season on Love is Blind? Are you caught up?
Oh, I'm so caught up. It's like everything I care about.
Yeah.
Well, I it's so easy to say my not favorites.
Oh, go first.
Kwame.
Yeah.
He's also not... I don't get how you didn't understand. I sent Claudia a video the other day.
Oh yeah.
Of with no context of like my boyfriend pretending to be Kwame and you're like, what am I looking at?
He was like walking around the house talking on the phone. I'm like, why are you sending me this video of your boyfriend talking on the phone? This looks personal.
Like, I'm like, no.
I'm like did you send this to me by accident?
We got in a fight and I just wanted to show you what he was talking. No, like I literally he was going or like whatever the laugh was. Anyways, I posted on TikTok and people understood.
Oh good, okay.
But I watched a 6-minute TikTok last night of the compiled of how much he wants nothing to do with Chelsea.
I know.
And it really was hard to watch. I was going, like, it was just hard to watch. I feel very bad for her, but, like, she's truly ignoring every sign. But, like, maybe that's just how she is. I don't know.
Or maybe she just, like, wants to. That's the thing about the show. It's like, if you are not into someone and you say your true feelings, you're cut from the show. So a lot
I don't
of these,
think she's about the show, like, seeing her sob and stuff. She wants to just get married.
I know. She's so in love with him, and, like, he can't be bothered. I think he thinks she's so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
And he's definitely one of the worst. worst. Zach, I mean, there's just no words.
Okay, I like was like in the beginning, I was like, justice for Zach. And I do feel, because I'm sorry, that girl was horrible. Horrible.
But two things can be true. He's definitely odd.
Oh my God, Bliss's father hates him.
I know, and Bliss's dad is onto something. And honestly, Bliss is giving...
onto something. I thought he was such an asshole. Bliss like, is, I get it, I get it.
Bliss
get
is
it.
Giving such desperate energy, like... She,
no, I think she. I think they actually really like each
that's
other.
That's what Jackie said, and Jackie's like, I actually think they might are a good match. But
wait,
like,
I think they are. She does not seem annoyed by him. Like,
yeah, it's true.
And like, I would be freaked out. He like stares in her eyes, and he's like, and but she likes it.
He doesn't also, blink.
Bliss's mom is. I like her a lot.
Yes, I liked her too.
And then this is. I might get like shit for this, but like, oh, what's her name? Micah.
Yeah.
I don't think is as bad as that other girl.
No.
I actually think she's really into Paul.
Same. I don't have a problem with her. I think she was like on a slippery slope to becoming a villain, but she cut off ties with Irina right. pretty quickly.
She was like, you're a mean girl. Bye.
I don't think she... I have no problem with her.
I really don't. And if you really think about it, because people are like, obviously I don't like how she was like drunk and semi-flirting. But flirting. Like, honestly, it was more him like going out messy. Of his way. Yeah, that was weird.
No, she was being messy too, but like, yeah. That's not a crime.
But... if you really think about it, she cut off Kwame in the beginning and literally only wanted Paul this whole time.
Yeah.
Like she's literally only wanted Paul. That there's kind of like, I just don't have a huge issue with her, but also her friend's so freaking.
Oh my God. That was really bad.
Like
who do you think is the hottest guy on the show?
Wait, is there anyone even hot? Oh, well, he's like beautiful, but not my type. I think Marshall's a very good looking man.
He
but
is.
Like, it's not like I would go for Marshall.
Yeah.
But like, I truly feel very sick for him and feel bad. Was it you that posted the other day saying he's toxic or something?
No.
Oh, it was someone else that was like unpopular opinion, but like, I think he's toxic. I'm like, I don't. I think he's just like a different kind of person than she is.
I
and
like,
they're not meant to be together.
I love when people share unpopular opinions and hot takes because I feel like everyone pretty much like on social media says the same thing, regurgitated in different... ways of saying it.
Yeah.
But that's just a horrible take.
Horrible. I actually like, I really just wish the best for Marshall. And I think that girl is a mean girl.
Yeah.
But wait, who do you think's the best looking?
Paul.
No.
Even though like personality,
he's good looking. He's just not for me.
Personality wise, like I think he would hate me and I would literally hate him.
He's so boring.
We would choke each other. He's like so like earthy and Greta Thunberg and green and science. And I'm just like, give me a plastic straw, bitch. I'm getting in this Uber to go 3 blocks. So like we would hate each other. And like on night one, I'd probably strangle him in his sleep if he didn't do it to me first. But physically, I do think he is the most good looking.
Okay.
That's just like a little bit about me.
Okay.
So again, how much would it take seriously in this moment in time for you to become the Bachelorette?
If I didn't have a boyfriend?
Yeah, of course. My God, I'm married. We're
okay,
just
like 3 million?
Okay. Seriously, I wouldn't do it.
Or maybe like 1 million.
It's not enough for me to be
you
that
don't,
exposed.
You literally like you're just like you like being the center of attention.
I do. That's a very good point. I'm
and
glad
I'm
you
not,
brought
and
that
I
up.
I do too.
No, I don't take it as an insult. I do like to be the center of attention. In this type of scenario where like you're up for 24 hours filming rose ceremonies, being in bikinis, having to like make out with people
you're
on TV.
Not in bikinis on the back, really.
They go on a lot of trips.
Okay.
And they get in a lot of hot tubs and they do a lot of hikes. Like, no. No.
Yeah, hikes, no.
Like they don't have any movie dates.
Right.
No.
So what, if you had one dating show that you could be on, what would it be?
That's such a good question. Okay, what are the current dating shows?
Okay, so
Bachelor, Love Island.
Too Hot to Handle.
Literally never.
Love is Blind, Bachelor, Bachelorette.
Probably Love
Bachelor in Paradise.
No, probably Love is Blind.
Love is Blind.
And on the trip to Mexico, I just
Love
like pretend
Island.
To get sick or something.
Is there anything else right now?
I mean, there's like a lot of like bad dating shows. But.
Right. Yeah, Love is Blind's a safe one.
It's safe.
Okay,
I think,
but you would have to end in... Well, you don't have a problem with that.
No. Are you commitment phobic? Like, you don't want to get married?
Oh, no, I do.
Oh, okay.
I just am like... I never thought even to this day in my life... Like, I thought it would be probably like 5, 6, 7 more years till I have a boyfriend. That I'm very... I don't want to break out of my... I just wanted to be that person that was like career focused for a while. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm very content and happy I have a boyfriend. I love him. But I don't want him to pull me out of like...
Your
I
hustle.
Just want to together be like working and
yeah.
have fun and like whatever. And I'm not saying you don't do that, but I think you.
Bitch, I'm fun. Like I'm literally, there's nobody more
wait,
fun on the
yes,
planet
and
than
you
me.
Know what? I'm sorry, but there's a lot of my friends out there that got married or engaged and turned boring right away.
Okay, but that's a choice. That's what I'm saying. Like, look
but
at me.
But it's rarer. I'm
telling
so
you,
some
fun.
People do it and they're like, I'm going to just go sit in my home now.
I just feel like...
You are fun, though.
You have
agree.
Nothing to be afraid of when it comes to marriage impacting the amount of fun you have and the amount of work you can accomplish. That's all I'm saying. But live your life, girl.
No, I agree, because that I just think then it like turns into like, oh, also because I'm very much a person that loves to live alone. So I'm I just am like, that's not happening anytime soon. Like, it's crazy to me when people are like, oh, are you guys like living together yet? I'm like, we haven't even been dating a year. And that might be more normal for some people. But like for me, no.
No.
And also kids are so far down the line for me that marriage just makes it feel like that's closer. But I know that you're not like, oh, I'm going to have kids tomorrow.
No, I think as long as you're like in control of your life and making your own choices, like do whatever you want.
You could do whatever you want. Yeah.
All right. Next up, Eva Mendes is explaining why she and Ryan Gosling don't appear on red carpets together, thus reminding everyone that these two are together, because I literally had forgotten. So in the comments on a recent Instagram post in which Eva Mendes shared photos from the 2012 Beyond the Pines premiere, the first film she made with Ryan Gosling, she said she's only comfortable posting images of the couple that are already publicly available. She responded to someone saying, "What a cool comment. Thank you." The person had expressed a desire for her and Ryan Gosling to appear together to promote the upcoming Barbie movie. She said, "What a cool comment. Thank you. But we don't do things like those together." Like these photos I've been posting, I'm only comfortable posting because it's already out there. They were only on the red carpet together once because they were promoting that film together, Between the Pines, I think it's called. And it's so true. They literally have two kids together. In 2020, I think it was, or 2022, she had referred to him as her husband on some Australian daytime talk show, and people didn't even know that they had been married. They are so secretive. There's literally two paparazzi photos of them, one from that premiere and then one when they went to Disneyland. Like, they're so low key, which obviously, you know, makes me believe it's real, you know.
I think that it's literally what we just said.
Yeah.
It's like you have to choose what you want to do, and if that's some sort of we have no idea, but for some reason they made this decision early on and they just, one of them really wants to stick to that, maybe, like,
I just find it so unrelatable, you know.
You go like this. Nope, you have like a little thing
there. I know, but you know, my skin is peeling and because I got a sunburn and it's all in my hair. I just have to live with it.
Okay.
I find it so unrelatable because I can't imagine being Eva Mendes with a husband as hot as Ryan Gosling and being Ryan Gosling with a wife as hot as Eva Mendes and not wanting to like thirst out on social media, because that could quite literally never be me. I get a good picture of Ben, I'm posting it on five different platforms.
It'll never be me either.
I'm like, uploading it to Pinterest. Like, I'm literally on Flickr.com and Tumblr.
Right. But like, again, this is how everyone's, like I just said, like I like to show off my boyfriend, but I refuse to tag him and his, let anyone know his name.
Oh, really? Oh, they don't know his name?
I've never done that in my life.
I haven't said it. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So like people are like, why? And I'm like, because that's what I decided.
Because that's your boundary.
So I just feel like clearly it's something, there's a reason for it.
Yeah. I mean,
and we're not going to know what that reason is.
No. And I think the reason is fairly obvious given their level of fame and how that can really be so toxic. Her. I feel like...
I don't know. Because he had that suit. It's funny because I actually forgot that they were together too. And then I watched The Notebook with my boyfriend a few months ago, sobbing, screaming. And when I watch a movie like that, like I get like very re-addicted and I have to look
rabbit
into
hole.
The whole Wikipedia and where are the older versions of them still alive, which I don't think they are. One of them is. And I just got started crying again. Yep. So then I started looking into them and then I watched 15 times the video of Rachel McAdams and him at the MTV
kissing.
Movie Awards running and kissing. Like, I'm addicted to that video. And I was like, all I want is for them to be together. And then I'm like, oh my God, he's with someone else. And I started getting upset.
I know.
But like,
so is she.
She what?
She's with someone else too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, they're both really happy.
I know, but like, ugh.
You know what? That just reminded me of when you were talking about watching a movie. Ben came into the room the other day.
The Will.
Cackling at your story. About The Whale. We have both really been wanting to watch it, and we've sat down twice to watch it, and we've watched the trailer, and we haven't even been able to start it because I think I'm going to find it so fucking sad.
There's nothing happy about it. I talked to Ben about this.
You did? Okay, good.
Yeah. He was just like, do you think like I should watch or whatever? And I'm like, there's a lot of controversy around it, so maybe watch it because you like that. Like, I want to see what like you...
What's the controversy about? That he's wearing a fat suit?
No. Okay, that... no fat people were a part of making this movie. He's not fat. The people who made the movie aren't fat. And that they're just making it look like another movie where it's like, you are a miserable person living in your home, eating your life away and hate your life and end up dying because you are fat.
Can I say, I don't agree with the no fat people working on the set. Like, people got to work. You're fat, you're skinny. You can do your job. I'm sorry. I don't think that's a valid critique. But I'm very conscious of like the stereotype in media of fat people. It's always like the lazy, fat, slobby friend. And right. I find it annoying and...
Or like the funny friend that never hooks up with guys.
Yes,
fat.
I find it problematic. I get that. But I do want to say that what Brendan Fraser's character goes through, you know, eats his way into oblivion, can't be a parent. Yeah. That actually is a reality for a lot of people. So I don't know. I don't have a problem with it.
So all I'm going to say, because we don't have to get deep into it, but like I still have yet to, again, this was another thing on my list, those two things.
To make a video about?
To make a video, and I actually don't know how to say it the right way without getting people pissed at me.
Uh-huh.
But I watched that show. Thank God my boyfriend didn't come over because he's been asking to watch it with me. I said, I watched it without you. He was furious. And I said, I wouldn't have been able to watch this with you. I cried the whole entire time. I was watching a worse version, not worse, like a more extreme version of myself.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe, like, there was just, I'm not giving anything away, but there was one part where he looked at basically like, I'm going to die based on like, he looked up finally, like what his something symptoms. About his health. And he was like, it says like, you are going to die basically. Mm. And instead of him doing something about it, he ordered 10 boxes of pizzas and ate all of them. And I was like, oh my God, like this for someone who is a binge eater, this is the reality of the worst situation of it not getting better.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really real way to watch that. And I don't necessarily think it was inaccurate. No. I thought it was really interesting to watch.
I don't have a problem with it at all based on what you're describing.
But it's straight sad. If you don't want to just be upset and watch a sad movie, like not ending well, you're going to like, then don't watch it.
And honestly, I feel like having that sort of depiction might be helpful for people who don't really understand that like being overweight most of the time is not a choice.
That's my thing.
It's a genetic, it's literally the number one cause of obesity is your genes. Like you're literally, and so telling a fat person like, well, don't order pizza. It's not
that part is a mental thing, and that's something, and it's habit, and
it's like telling a depressed person, just you know, you'll be fine.
Get better. Like,
and that's really my problem with a lot of the discourse around these new injection Ozempic, Mounjaro, these shots.
Yeah.
Because everyone's just like, it's an easy way out. Like, it's just a really kind of, in my opinion, like a really uneducated way of speaking about obesity. You obviously don't know anything about obesity because I know for a lot of people, these injections have changed their lives and have like quieted a lot of the noise in their head about food. And it's just the way that, you know, normal people walking around can just like eat a meal and move on with their day and not keep thinking about it. It's affording a lot of people that luxury who haven't had that their whole lives. We've got a brand new sponsor today. We are very excited to be partnering up with Lululemon to tell you all about their new Align collection. You may have noticed the pants I wear every single day on the toast. I get a lot of DMs about them. They are the Lululemon mini high rise flare pant. I love them. I've been in my kind of flare pant era, kind of evolving, maturing, and the Lululemon Align collection has been fabulous. And what's great about it is the flexibility. The four-way stretch means you can bend, stretch, and move literally any way you want to without restriction or distraction. I find a lot of times the band at the top of like leggings or flare pants will really hurt my stomach and be like a bellyache throughout the day. Not Lululemon. This stretch, this comfortability is real. It's made with Nulu fabric. It's the softest, comfiest texture for your legs, period. The fit is fabulous. I mean, look at me. I look stunning. It shapes perfectly to your body for a flattering look that's uniquely yours. And the best part is that it's weightless. That light, weightless sensation that makes you feel like you're wearing nothing and nothing else. I am loving these pants. I can't lie. I have to wash them like every 2 days because I've been wearing them pretty much 5 days a week here at the toast. The entire line collection is really, really fabulous. But I have to say the high rise mini flare pant is my favorite. And that's just because I'm in like my flare era. I'm like a flare girly. Get into the Lululemon Align collection at lululemon.com. That's LULULEMON.com. And this collection is the Align collection. You don't want to miss it. Today's episode is sponsored by Dreamland Baby. We want to introduce you to a product that over 500,000 parents, including Jax, use to help their baby sleep. It's the Dreamland Baby Weighted Sleep Sacks and Swaddles. It all started with Tara, who couldn't get her baby to sleep. She was frustrated and searching for answers, and her solution was to create a gently weighted sleep sack that your baby can safely wear to help them feel calm, fall asleep faster, and stay asleep longer. It's really genius. It's the only sleep sack that features CoverCom technology. It evenly distributes weight from the baby's shoulders to toes, and it naturally reduces stress, allowing your little one to relax and sleep soundly. Just like a weighted blanket can help adults, we all know that, we love our weighted blankets, these gently weighted sleep sacks will help your baby feel calm, much like a hug, and your baby can do anything in the sack that they can do in a non-weighted sleep sack. So if you have a child who's having difficulty falling asleep or even staying asleep, this is a safe, effective product that you need. So it's the gently weighted sleep sacks and swaddles. They're for newborns up to 36 months. It's the only sleep sack with that cover calm technology, and it was created by a mom. So the gentle weight mimics the feeling of a parent's touch or a hug. We've had a lot of success with the bebes in our family with these weighted sleep sacks. And as adults, we know, we've all used a weighted blanket. We know that it works. So your baby deserves the best. The best news is that they're offering an exclusive discount to the Toast listeners. Just head to dreamlandbabyco.com/pages/toast and use code toast at checkout to get 20% off and put your sleepless nights to rest. That's dreamlandbabyco.com/pages/toast.
A little human interest news, Remelina. Ready?
Yep.
A 5-foot man who struggled to find a date has undergone excruciatingly painful $165,000 leg surgery that involved breaking his bones so he could add another 5 inches to his height. His name is Moses Gibson. He's from Minnesota, and he had been insecure about his height for years. Wow. He first underwent the knife in 2016, but recently had his second procedure. He is 41 years old, and he has now grown 5 inches, and he is saying he's feeling much more confident.
What do you think about that?
I think this is crazy, but it's just kind of, you know, like, live your life. If he's happy and so confident, I'm always, I'm a big proponent of, like, yeah, this trend where, like, we're all embracing our insecurities, that's great. But, like, sometimes you can't get past one of your insecurities. And, yes, this is extreme and borderline kind of crazy. But you know what? If you feel better, I'm happy for you.
It's the same thing about everything. Like, it's like, I have never, I'm very much on, like, I just, for me, have never wanted to, like, change, like, do like plastic physically. Surgery or something physically on me, but I literally feel zero annoyance or frustration when other people do it.
Have like you gotten any sort of cosmetic Botox? Never. Nope. Nothing.
The only thing I've ever gotten for my TMJ was a little needle here, and it did not work.
Oh, you know what I was going to ask you? I've really been having bad TMJ, and I've heard a lot of people having success with Botox. I also hear it makes your jaw like a little bit more snatched.
It did for me. I don't think I look any different than when I did it, but it also didn't work for me.
Oh.
And also you just have to be careful and make sure you go to the right person. It can literally fuck up like your smile and everything. Like you just need to go to a good person.
No, that's not worth it. I'm not doing it.
It's not worth it, I think. But also I literally got a mouth guard and my TMJ stopped. Like a really good.
Where'd you get a mouth guard?
I will tell you the guy.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
But yeah, no, for me, I am... Now that's going to sound bad. No, I was going to say I'm proud that I haven't, but like for me, that's the thing for me. Like I was always like, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to. I just like, whatever.
No, when people choose to embrace. Yeah, I get Botox probably twice a year.
Okay. I can't even tell.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I did not many years ago, probably 2018. Lips. I got a natural neck lift, which was basically just like I got fat removed. It's not buckle fat removal. It's from my double chin.
This is just a personal thing. Like, I feel like people shouldn't do the buckle fat removal because I don't think they look good.
I think, no, you know what it is? It's like, it's a trend right now to have like crazy ass sunken cheekbones. And I don't think in a few years it's going to be on trend because I do think it looks bad. It's kind of like how I feel about these floofy eyebrows that everybody does. Like they slick up their eyebrows all the way to their fucking hairline and they look nuts. And the way we look back now at like those really skinny eyebrows from the 90s, we're going to look back at these fluffy Groucho Marx eyebrows and be like, what the fuck were we thinking? But eyebrows are temporary.
I went home one day with eyebrows like that and my whole family said, you look horrible.
No, like, but it's a makeup trend. Like it's fine. You're not permanently changing your eyebrows, but the buckle fat removal, I agree. I don't think it looks good. And I think to permanently do that, I think a lot of people might regret it.
They're gonna.
You have to be so careful when you get caught up in these beauty trends, and I'm easily caught up in things. And so I try to be really level headed about it, but you know, I might in a few years wish I had my double chin back. I don't think I will, but.
I used to be very anti like getting lips done. Like, again, this is like how I'm allowed to change my mindset.
Yeah, of course.
So like I used to get like really mad at my sister when she would get her lips done. I'm like, you're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. I have some friends that actually look 10 times better. Like when they had less lips and then now. And then
what do you think about my lips?
They look really good. Do you get them done?
I have had lip filler maybe 3 times in the last couple of years. I get it done a very little amount once a year.
Then I think it's all about going to the right person because like your lips don't look fake to me. And again, I just want everyone to like look and feel their best. But like for me,
it's a choice.
I I've always had like pretty decent sized lips, and I'm like, I'll get in these phases where I'm like, should I? And then I'm like, nah.
No, you have nice lips. Thank you. There's no reason to get something that you don't need just because it's trendy.
No.
So you're saying you would not spend $165,000 breaking your legs to grow 5 inches?
No, but he could do what he wants, and I'm not mad at him.
This is kind of like White Chicks, where she says she got her knees done and that's why she got taller. But it's really Marlon Wayans.
I don't remember that, but I saw that movie like 5 times.
Oh my God, it's such a good movie.
No, I know.
Well, someone was like, you got taller. She's like, oh, I got my knees done. They're like, you can do that? I guess you can.
Do you know what is really crazy though? When I was looking into signing to modeling agencies, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be a plus size model, I remember actually, like, this is where I had like my little phase of like zero confidence right before COVID and right before the videos. I remember laying in bed like crying, being like, and calling my dad saying, I just wish I was 5'10". And he said, well, Remy, like, guess what? There's nothing you could do about that. Right. And I was like, okay, I just gotta get over this.
He was
like,
wrong.
Yeah.
He was wrong. You can. All right, our fifth story is going to lead us into our little recap of the Vanderpump Rules episode from last night. But like, Howie Mandel is starting stuff. Have you seen?
So I fell asleep last night to the interview.
It was horrible.
Which was insane.
So Andy Cohen on Watch Happens Live last night, like, kind of poked fun at Howie Mandel. Okay. And was like, just said, you know, he stepped in shit. He didn't even know what he was talking about. He did no research. Lala went on her stories and was like coming for him. So now Howie Mandel is slamming back at Andy Cohen and Lala Kent after the controversial interview. So he caught flack from Andy Cohen and Lala and swarms of fans. Howie has clapped back. He said, I don't need to do homework. I know who Sandoval is. I know what show he's on. It's very funny to me now watching everybody else. Like, I don't even know some of the names of the people that are in the show, and I'm getting hit hard for not knowing those names. He famously stopped the interview and was like, wait, who's Sheena?
Wait, I cried laughing in the Uber here listening to you going, shut up!
No, he was really being so...
No, he was annoying.
He's being so annoying.
I'm sorry, like, an interviewer should know the information.
Thank you. He reiterated that he doesn't watch the Bravo reality show, but he said he wanted to give Sandoval a place where he can spew his side. He cheated on his girlfriend with her best friend. I still don't understand why it's big international news, though he doesn't condone Sandoval's month-long affair with Raquel. Howie Mandel said he could commend the bar owner, quote, for being vulnerable and removing the stigma for mental health. People think they could just say mental health and like everything that comes out of their mouth after that is right.
Right.
That's like a thing now where it's like, well, mental health. And it's like, everyone's like, oh, well, mental health. No, you can't just say that. Like, that has meaning. And what the fuck is he talking about?
It really is crazy. And I do think that he chose, I guess he went on that like knowing that he wasn't going to
get challenged.
Yeah.
It was so cringe.
That was the craziest thing.
And now I'm watching last night's episode and all the new episodes of Vanderpump Rules with this lens of like, and I pride myself on, I've been a fan of the show since the very beginning, and I have always hated Tom Sandoval. I have known.
Wait, I've always hated him.
And especially in recent years, he doesn't even do a good job of hiding how narcissistic.
Oh, I hate him.
Is that the right word? Narcissistic? Yeah. Narcissistic. He is, how he's so obsessed and in love with himself, how he's so deeply unwell. And now everyone's seeing what I've been seeing for years. And so I feel vindicated in a sense.
I just hate him. I always have. And this wasn't like a big surprise to me. The surprise part was obviously, and the worst part
was the Raquel.
Raquel, because she's friends. I think that, like, I don't know. I commented on, when the interview came out, I commented on something and then people started trying to comment
Star
back.
Fights.
And I was like, I'm not doing this. and people were just like, they clearly had a messed up relationship. And so I'm like, I don't care. That doesn't make any of this right.
Really,
I'm also a very like anti-cheater person. So I actually think the whole thing is messed up. But like, other than that, I think the friendship thing is messed up. I think she's Rachel is a very insecure gal that really, really craves attention and needs it. I also think from being in probably a pretty traumatizing
relationship
with James, where like, I can't help but crack up at everything he says.
Like, I know.
He's hilarious.
He's so problematic, but he's so funny.
I know. I could not imagine being in a relationship with
him. No, I mean, when she told the story about him calling her mom fat.
Wait, when was that?
When she was talking about like 2 episodes ago about like...
Oh, I missed that.
They went to Palm Springs like with her parents, like when they were engaged. And this is what really caused them to break up. He was just going off saying so mean. He was like, your dad is so miserable because he's married to your fat mom.
Yeah, he has no...
He's horrible.
He's crazy. And also like, I'm sorry. Like, I actually think she's like cute and pretty. Allie? But like, I just have never seen someone sit there and just listen to all this without being able to say one thing or just be like, shut up.
No, last night's episode
shut up, James.
Last night's episode was weird because like James and Allie are like kind of joining this like outsider crew of Katie, Christina, Lala. Kelly, and Lala. Like they left Hibachi and went to dinner with them, and it's just fucking weird. No.
But I do get that. One, him and Lala used to be best friends, so they have like this connection.
And I do think they're in love.
Maybe. Katie and him at least they share that frustration. I feel like it's the comfort he can't really say how upset he is, even though he's clearly acting that way because he has a girlfriend next to him, where Katie can be like, this is so upsetting to me. So I feel like he feels comfortable like with them, especially in the wedding. I don't think that that's the weirdest thing, that they're like in this little crew. I think what is,
well, Lala. Is that what you're going
to
say?
I love Lala, so it's hard
Jackie
for me
and I,
to like...
for years have been Lala apologists, but like it's really hard to kind of defend quite literally anything she's done this season because she's been abhorrent. And if we didn't know what we know about Raquel, like I would be so team Raquel. But of course, you know, the affair complicates things. But I just thought she was being like kind of a bad friend to Sheena, like not going to the rehearsal dinner. Literally the white party she didn't even show up to. And when Sheena wanted to talk to her about it, she like wouldn't even acknowledge it. And she was on Watch Ovens Live saying, you know, I wasn't a bridesmaid. I paid for my room. This is a vacation for me. And like, I get it. And it is a vacation, but like, it's her fucking wedding. And
all
like,
I'm going to say is I would have a very different reaction than Sheena did.
Yeah. I thought Sheena was so chill.
If
and like
people came to my hotel and my wedding. Okay. But now I feel, see like I
and
like
hung that. Out with like my enemy, Katie. Mm-hmm.
I just feel bad. I really like Lala and I just don't want to talk to her.
No, I know. But like,
I know I'm
a part of being a host of the toes is like, you have to have those uncomfortable conversations, Remy.
Okay. Well, I just said that I would have reacted differently and I would have been like pissed off, but that's me. Like if you're coming to my hotel, like,
of course.
I'm sorry. Like, it's literally where I am hosting getting my married. Wedding and having my wedding. And you wouldn't be here if I wasn't having a wedding this weekend. And so like, you can't say you're just on vacation. Like you should be at every possible event or please leave.
And Sheena, like kind of being chill about it made me have like a lot of respect for her. And then
I'm shocked she was chill.
Later on in the night when she shared with everyone that her and Brock have actually been married for a year and they were just like so happy and like summer, they have a baby together and she like started crying.
Baby is so cute.
Beautiful girl. I was like, you know what? This kind of makes sense why Sheena's not being like a bridezilla. Like this wedding is like a formality. It's just for fun.
Right.
It doesn't really mean anything in like a spiritual sense.
When the veil was flowing in the wind, I would have been like, rah!
I know.
And she was just like, it's okay. Just take it. Like she clearly did some sort of something before that to just zen her out. Where she was like, I'm not going to bug at this wedding.
Yeah, she was so chill.
Or maybe he makes her more calm of a person.
And she's much older than she was at her first wedding. Her first wedding, Sheena at her first wedding was me at my wedding. Like that's the energy I was giving. Crazy ass fucking bitch energy. That's how I was acting.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Schwartz and Raquel? Do you think, like, it was so crazy? I really don't blame Raquel in any sense. Like, Katie has been horrible to her.
This
bullied her. Like, why would... Raquel doesn't really owe Katie anything. Tom is completely at
fault. Tom is in the wrong.
Yeah.
Tom is... And then going... Like, Tom... I would have been James in that situation. I was like, don't touch my leg and don't try and talk to my current girlfriend.
It's true.
Like, he was not wrong at all.
I know.
But also, like, yeah, Tom, I've always liked that Schwartz. But he gives this innocent thing where he's like, what? You can't be mad at me. And, like, trying to be
like
chill.
A kid.
Where, like, one, I also think, Katie, you don't know behind the scenes what their conversations have been. It probably was, like, a really big deal to, like, choose to end a marriage, but there's allowed to be jealousy there. And also don't get with my friends.
No, not even my friends. Cause that's not what she said. She's like, just don't like get in the group. And I don't feel like that's an unreasonable thing for her.
I don't
ask.
Either. I totally would be feeling the way she did. And I would have been like, Schwartz, get away.
Yeah.
And that was also wrong to James. Raquel, I don't think really owes Katie anything, but Raquel's crazy.
She also doesn't owe James anything. Like he was horrible to her.
Right.
She's just kind of like a free agent.
Yeah,
and
but
didn't
she break up with James?
I don't know.
We don't really know how that.
I don't know who broke up with who, but like she is still very much like the hurt party. He has a new girlfriend. He was horrible to her. He called her mom fat. Yeah. Like I feel
he was horrible to her.
I feel like she really doesn't owe him anything.
There was something else you just asked.
Schwartz. You said you like him as a person.
Yeah. Wait, no, I'm missing something. Oh, what I was confused about, and that's why I was texting my mom, my sister all said, I'm like, I'm a little confused here because you guys said to me that in like two episodes ago, that Tom Sandoval and Raquel started already having their fling. And then they were like, oh, no, no, no. And then I was like, okay, that would make more sense because why would she kiss Schwartz? But now... listening to that interview, they did start in Sandoval's eyes.
Before the wedding.
They had a connection
and they kissed.
But I'm thinking that maybe in Raquel's eyes, it wasn't any sort of connection or big deal because like she was like, I'm into Tom Schwartz. And then maybe after he got rich, Sandoval got really jealous. Remember him standing over the table last night, like being like, you guys kissed. And Ariana's like, sit down.
Yeah,
like,
Tom,
I just
down.
Feel like he like, really was jealous and now I get it more and he probably was like like now I want to like be a thing with her so no one gets with her.
The timeline really is confusing.
It's
though.
Really confusing. I didn't get it to now I get it. I didn't even get it from the show last night. I was still confused. But then when I watched Howie's interview, now I understand.
I think we'll probably get like a very clear and concise timeline at the reunion.
Yeah.
But I really can't wait till the end of May for that.
Wait, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. We should literally have a viewing party. It's going
to
be the biggest
event. I would love
event,
to watch that.
Like a Super Bowl. Like, yeah. It's going to be the biggest event of the season. I want to buy a commercial for the toast. While it's airing. Like, yeah. I think it'll be literally the most tuned into thing.
Also, I think this is a fun thing to just be discussing on social media because usually I am, like, you're one that you'll just be like, oh my God, this person's, like, sucks, even if you, like, know who they are and, like, you've met a lot of these people where, like, I get too nervous to do I that. Know. But the only time I ever started doing that was last year with Love is Blind, so I started doing it a little more now. And this is the first time I feel like I can do that because everyone's on one side. If you're somewhat on Raquel's side, you are delusional. But I don't think there's anyone I know. So it's like you could say whatever you want because we're all in a team together.
Right. Everyone's like, Team Ariana, Team Ariana. Yeah. It's like, of course, team. What else?
Yeah.
Yeah. So last night's
Except
episode
Howie,
was,
maybe.
It was sweet. I actually really thought Sheena's wedding was beautiful and I'm really happy for
it. It really
I,
was nice.
And I really like Brock and I definitely got a little teared up, especially when Summer was walking down the aisle. It was sweet.
Wait, she's so cute. And I'm like very picky on like cute babies and like I think she's the cutest.
Wait, also in this premiere for next week, the preview, Katie's talking about how she's dating someone who's 25 and she brings this guy to the bar and he like literally looks 11. Like, he looks like he weighs, like, 60 pounds. I was shook. I'm like, what?
Listen, I feel like maybe you want to get the furthest away from what you were, like.
Yes, so true.
I don't know. I've never been married, and I've never, like, needed to, like, turn. Right. But, like, a lot of people end up, like, hooking up with people that is not their type or not
That's
what
so
they're
true.
Used to.
So that is so true.
I'm interested to see, like, more about him.
You know, I'm very much looking forward to that whole thing because I was shook when I saw him. I was like, what? Like, I know you said he was young. I didn't realize he was in middle school. Well, that's our show. Remy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you
for I love you.
Love
Guys, make
you.
Sure to follow Remy everywhere, TikTok, Instagram at Remy J Bader or just Remy Bader?
Wait, that's my
I feel like on TikTok it's Remy Joe.
Oh, no. Everything is at Remy Bader.
Okay, sorry. That's I didn't mean it. To confuse everyone. At Remy Bader. You're the best. Thank you for being here.
Love
you. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast of the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Video, iRated, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us the Toast of the 5 Star Review. That'll be real stunning and wickedly talented we are. Have an amazing Thursday. We are in studio tomorrow for our final episode of the week with Paige DeSorbo. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.